Hi, this is Dave Rowntree, co-author of the soon-to-be-released Demon Street USA, author of Paranormal Technology, an all-around science geek in the paranormal. And when I'm not doing anything, I sit around and chuckle to the antics of the Mallard Report.
The opinions expressed on the Mallard Report are those of the hosts and participants and are not intended to and do not necessarily reflect the opinions of any simulcasting radio network or sponsor. All listeners are advised to make their own decisions.
It's the Mallard Report. Yeah, the Mallard Report. The paranormal talk radio show with Jim Mallard as your host. See what lies beneath any paranormal activity. Go inside a world that others don't want.
It is the Mallard Report, and here we go. Tonight's sponsor is Spectrum Light. Visit SpectrumState.com. Spectrum Light, some of the best IR boosters available, works wonderfully well with Sony Nightshark cameras. Sign up for my newsletter and learn how to save money. Visit or follow them on Twitter at AU Paranormal. Kind of butchered that. I kind of read that all backwards, but it's all still there. My guest tonight, everybody holding on because, well, I am, because this is where it's going to get kind of dicey. Joanne.
Joni.
See, I
it's okay.
So busy about the last name, I forgot. whatever. Edinger.
Isinger. I had said to you another time, just don't call me late for dinner, so no. I'm here.
You're here. You're present. You're accounted for. That's the good thing. Give me the brief bio that I know from looking, but my listeners probably don't know from you.
Sure. I'm a New Yorker. I live in New Jersey. I am a licensed social worker in New York, no longer practicing. I was a therapist for 10 years, and I also became gifted with abilities after becoming chemically sensitive. And I had a spiritual awakening in around 2013-14. When I could no longer go to doctors or psychiatrists thought I was nuts, I couldn't open up windows or doors, could only eat two foods, at one point couldn't drink water. They didn't know what to do with me. An energy medicine practitioner came on my path, and he began healing me. And with that, I started reading spiritual books. I'm Jewish by birth. So there was this religious pull, yet I started reading Ascended Masters' work, so Jesus was sounding pretty good, and Buddha and the like, and I started, the gifts started coming in. I hadn't believed any of this. I was conventionally trained, handed out scripts that psychiatrists were giving to me for my clients, and I at first started channeling departed ones. They came through. I had no fear, and I learned how to do that. Then I had energy coming out of my hands. I was able to do hands-on healing with my son, and I could do remote healing, which is distance healing. I learned a tapping modality where when you tapped different acupressure points on your body and you said some affirmations, you could get rid of fears. So I got rid of my fear of going through the toll plazas and on the Garden State and the Turnpike. And then I started becoming clairvoyant. I could see into bodies. I had claircognizance, I had divine knowing, I had information coming through me. My hands started being taken, I move my hands and they move around, and I'm able to do healings with that. I had healing circles in my home for 2.5 years. I put pen to paper, and I started receiving messages from my guide, who called himself David at the time. I learned a year and a half later that David, in fact, was Jesus. He likes to be called Yeshua. My religion went completely out the window at that point as I outed myself to the rabbi, and that didn't work out well. I published a book called David's Guidance, a Book of Light of 50 of Yeshua's channeled messages. And I've been doing this privately. I do phone and Skype and in person from my home in central New Jersey. And I do gallery events in a restaurant monthly. I love what I do. I call myself healer, channel, and guide. I'm here to serve. That's my job. And I thank you for having me on your show. I'm ready. I'm looking forward.
I'm glad you put up with me, because I'm going to speak to you and I'm going to speak to a number of people at the same time. I know it's frustrating. It's frustrating for me too. I have so many guest requests. I went through them last summer. You got this email, I'm sure, that I sent you to other hosts that have more slots than I do or had openings at that point.
Yeah.
And I am still, I mean, I do one show a week and I get 5 or 6 requests. So anybody out there who is elementary math knows that it just doesn't work.
Well, I had understood that you were very busy, and I found it refreshing to see how many other radio hosts were talking about the paranormal. So I was just thrilled when you said, hey, there's a slot open. Come on down.
And those are just a handful that I recommend. There's a whole bunch of other ones out there that, well, I don't.
I gotcha.
Well, there are some that I do and some that I don't and some that I could just, well, you're from Long Island. You could complete that and with cement shoes and go with it.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Before I ask this question, I'm gonna, for the record, if it sounds like we talked a couple days ago, so if it sounds like we're bringing up old stuff, that's because that's why that is. Just in case it comes across like that. But I want to ask you about the Long Island medium, just because, you know, you're from there, and that's great. Quite the buzz, because she did her little live, whatever she did the other day. I didn't watch it. Did you?
No. I think I watched about 10 minutes of her, and that's all I've watched.
And?
I believe that what she's doing is real. I believe that she's genuine and she is of heart, that she is a very thoughtful woman and that she is gifted. I have more of a problem. It's not about her. It's reality shows. I just have issues, and I feel that the reality show is pandering to her being Italian, her being from Long Island, her being a psychic, her husband having tattoos all over himself, and I have no problem with any of it. I just feel that there's an integrity piece, and I guess that's just I was a trained social worker. We were trained to be change agents. So we take a look at systems that we feel are broken, and we find ways to change them. So reality TV, I could write a long list of all the ways that I'd like to get rid of it. No. It has its place. It has its place. But where, you know, things could be altered, and I just don't like them pandering. And there's just a lot of stereotypical stuff that's thrown in. But if you peel it away, which is my job, that's my own personal work, and you just get to the messages, it's wonderful. I think that she's being of service. She's assisting souls, people, you and me, who do not know or are skeptical that their departed loved one or pet is really not dead. That they that a soul is eternal. It never dies. It goes somewhere else. You just can't see them. People who are clairvoyant might be able to see them, but most people can't see them as if they were in front of them. So I give her a thumbs up, as Siskel and Ebert would do. The Olympic teams, you know, they would give the 10. I'd give her a 10. And I feel like she's a trailblazer for us all. I feel that she is getting people to talk more about this, make it more mainstream, making spirituality more normal.
Okay, so we're going to show, I'm not going to give you my opinion. I can't get past her. I'm not sure if it's the fake nails and the big hair. I don't know. It's just.
Well, that was my problem. That's why I could only watch 10 minutes. It was that.
Yeah.
If you closed your eyes and if you had it on, what's that? Where it's for the deaf, you know, if you just had the words and you turn the volume off, or you just closed your eyes and had the volume on, it might be easier. But I think that there are other talents, other healers, guides, psychics, who don't have that reality twist to them. I think it was John Edwards, Lisa Williams. They come in with a more subdued. They have a subdued look. They don't have that edge.
Yeah, I don't know. Just personal. I guess I just disingenuously like fake people, and that just oozes fake to me. So
I believe that she gets paid a lot of money to do that, and that I don't know how much of that is she and how much of that is her paycheck.
Well, okay, back to you, because
so,
that's where
there
we need to be. I mean,
okay.
The first thing I want to talk about is healing.
Okay.
It's a strange, it's not, I don't want to say a strange topic, but it is in its own right. I mean, it's not black and white by any stretch of the imagination. So take me back to like the first time you started, I don't want to say dabbled, but I guess here I am. See, I'm phrasing these word awkward questions because I don't have
fine.
The right word.
It's all fine. They're all, I understand what you're saying.
So take me back to the first, well, not maybe.
When it happened.
Yeah, when the light clicked on, I guess.
Okay. So I'll talk about healing in terms of channeling departed ones for people, because that's healing, that heals people. That was more of an indirect way of healing others. I have friends who would talk about ghosts, and it scared the bejesus out of me. And I could not even say the word ghost, pretty much. It wasn't in my vocabulary. It wasn't in my religious background. Didn't believe in them. But they said, come on, let's, and they would have conversations. Then they and several others would share, literally, that someone had died, someone they knew had died. And I would get this buzzy feeling in my head. I liken it to if you have had a glass of wine on an empty stomach and you get this kind of a buzzy rush, but your face doesn't get warm and you could still stand. And so I would get that buzz, and I felt that something was taking over, and I wasn't afraid because I was ready for this. I was not afraid at all. And I was able to sense and know, sense meaning feel and know, and I have a basic idea of the gender of the soul. It wasn't rocket science for me to figure out that it was the soul that we were talking about that had departed. And then I was able at some point, very soon after, to be able to start saying their words. So my spirit, which is housed in my body, I was able to kind of put aside somewhere. I could tuck it away. So Joni would just kind of move over and someone else would come in. In the beginning, it was overpowering, and I would go to the floor and be on the floor, and I couldn't speak. And then I learned from a friend, just ask them to sync up their energy with yours. And I did. And I would talk to them and say, hey, this is too much. I'm on the floor. Can you get your energy right with me? And within 1 second, I was standing up, and I was able to talk. So I was bringing in loving messages, and the person at the other end, the friend I would be talking to, would be crying, and then they were able to ask that soul questions through me, and I would respond. So I learned how to do two types of channeling. I think it's light trance and deep trance channeling. One was where I was more present, and I was seeing through my eyes, but my mouth was moving more, and they were talking. And the other was where literally I would go very far away. I always knew in both cases what was going on, but in the other sense, the deep trance channel, they were occupying my body. They were seeing through my eyes. Every now and then, my voice would change slightly. So if there was a man, I would be talking a little lower. Or if they were like this and they wanted to talk quickly, then I could do that too. And they were even moving my body in the way they would move. In terms of healing, that was healing for many souls. They thanked me. They said, you're a blessing. God bless you. And oftentimes that soul at the end of the session, the channeling, the mediumship session, I would be showered with white light. My eyes would be closed and I would see white, which is divine love. And I would feel the rapture. I would feel complete joy with that oneness, that fantasy experience that they say is on the other side. And they were thanking me in that way. So that was the indirect way that I began healing. And again, religiously, I was a mess because I was taught that that was being a soothsayer. And I didn't understand how I could be a devout liberal Jew and then also be channeling departed ones and still be a good person. It was a very difficult time for me. And in terms of healing, I was receiving energy medicine from a practitioner who was doing a combination of something called NAET and Bioset. These are allergy elimination techniques. And he was also distance treating me. So I was dependent on him for distance treating me for a while. Got very frustrated. And I thought, hey, I don't want to be dependent on someone. That's not my personality. I think he's hardwired the same way I am. So I had this brilliant idea. I kept seeing Jesus with his hands outstretched with as if he were healing people. I knew nothing about his story, by the way, but that came to me. I thought, well, I'm going to try this. I'm going to try this out. And mind you, I didn't have a megalomaniac grandiosity complex. I was just, you know, I say I'm Joni from Long Island. That's who I am, you know, just Joni. And my son would have reactive airways, which was like a low-level asthma. So when he would have bronchitis, he'd have difficulty breathing. We'd give him that nebulizer, that machine with the medicine in it that steams up so he could breathe better with a mask on. And I thought, I'm going to try this out. So in the middle of the night, he would say, Mom, come to me. He's like 3, 4, 5. And I would put my hands. I started doing this. I put my hands on either side of his chest. I closed my eyes. I saw white light, which that was bizarre, but I was never afraid. I said, please heal this child of God, which was not of my background. Energy shot out of my hands and he would stop coughing. And that blew me away. And I asked him, I said, did you feel that? What do you feel? And he said, yes, it's warm. It's tingly. So he would start asking me to do hands on. We called it hands on. And I did that. Then I thought, well, I'm the sleep-deprived mother of a kid with bronchitis. I'm going to try the remote healing. So without getting up to go to his bedroom, I took my hand, I shoved it out from underneath my pillow, and with intention, and there's a great book by Wayne Dyer called The Power of Intention, with the intention of having the energy come out of my palm, I did that. I turned on a switch and energy shot out of my hand and it went around the corners. No, it went through another realm and my kid would stop coughing. Those were my beginnings. I never had fear. It was natural to me. I was in awe. I knew it was real. I knew that I had not lost it. And I began sharing it with people. I began telling people. And I began when people said they had lost a departed one, I would immediately ask if they wanted me to channel them. So that, and then the hands-on healing, I started doing that with friends. And then I started doing remote healing. I started practicing. That's my story.
So I've got to go back a little bit.
Keep going.
Well, kind of back.
Keep going back.
I see you kind of dabbled right around it, but I want to ask you anyways, because I think you might have a different answer. How did you ever come to your religion? Because you had practiced it, prayer practice works, for many years, and then all of a sudden you're at a crossroads, so to speak. So what made you take the turn instead of just marching on with what you do?
It's a very good question. Well, there was a clincher. I'm sitting in synagogue, and Jesus comes and comes to me. That was such a mind F. I don't think we curse on your show, but I do call myself the trash mouth psychic. It was beyond. I thought, okay, what's going on here? I'm reading spiritual books. I'm reading Jesus' words. They seem fine to me, they're making sense, and you're showing up in me. I am getting you now while I'm praying in synagogue. That pretty much did it. The other part that made it very challenging is that I went to the Bible, and I knew that my people, the tribe, we weren't allowed. There are very few Jews that I have found who go to psychics, who talk about souls and past lives and reincarnation and ghosts. We don't talk about this because it's not part of the tradition. So I found, I was pouring through the Old Testament, and I found in Leviticus, and that God saith, you don't do this, you don't do that, and we were called soothsayers. And I cried. And I was very challenged, and I didn't understand how, I didn't understand this type of a God that would forbid one to seek divine assistance by another soul with gifts. Yet I had been gifted with those same gifts that he, she, it had gifted me with. It was an existential angst that went on for a few years. I still went to synagogue. I was in the choir with my son. He even went through a bar mitzvah during the time that this was all going on. I went to the rabbi and I outed myself and I told him everything that was going on, and it did not go over well. And then a month later, I became ordained as a reverend in a spiritual church, in title only because of the gifting of my abilities. But it was definitely a statement that I made. I don't have anger. I don't have disdain for religion or Judaism.
Oh, but that'd make a much better show if you did.
Well, I don't want karma with an entire religion, because I do believe in karma. So if I don't have if I'm unforgiving towards the religion, then I have to come back and be like the rabbi, where my entire congregation goes psychic on me or something. So I'm not going there, honey. That's also called a dark night of the soul. Part of the awakening included, as REM would say, losing my religion.
It is an interesting process, by the way.
Yeah.
Waking up one day and kind of realizing everything that you believed is not what you believe now.
That's right. Took a 180-degree turn.
So, again, I'm trying to, like I told you the other day, I want to hit so many different things. So this may seem disjointed, but so what are, because you told me the other day, and we didn't really get down this road, so I want to get down this road tonight, because obviously this is what I do. So yeah. What are your thoughts on the paranormal?
To me, I believe that the paranormal is a term that's used by people who aren't sure what this is about, that they're, para means sort of to me. Para is half. Para is an almost. To me, I call it normal. To say something is paranormal to me is oxymoronic. It doesn't make sense, because I believe that there are souls who, well, if we're going to talk about ghosts here, or, oh, did you hear that creak? It must be a soul. If we're going to get specific here, I believe that we're in the third dimension. This is a concrete third dimensional physical reality. And then when we pass, when our soul leaves our body, if we don't know that we've departed and we stick around, we're in this purgatory limbo state. People call them ghosts. I call them discarnates, discarnates. And they remain in this state, and they could remain in this state infinitely. I don't believe that this is a healthy place for them to be. I believe that it is quite hellish, because the normal passage is to go back home. Where is home? To that realm, to the fifth dimension and beyond, where we are greeted by the souls that we normally travel with, ascended masters, archangels, guides, consciousnesses, star beings, etc. To Yes. And then the other type of situation is where you pass, you die, you leave your body, and you go to the light. Like in Poltergeist, go to the light, Carol Ann, go to the light. And that's where you pass go. You get collect $100. And that's where you go home, and you're not in that fourth dimension. You're not in that in-between phase. So the paranormal, to me, is a questioning area for individuals, and this isn't judgment. It's the where people are in their awakening of, is this real? Could it be? Let's find out. I'm not sure. Or I'm definitely sure. I'm definitely sure, but the spiritual part, the explanation as to why they're there and how to get them back home, to me seems to be absent. My job as a healer is to send discarnates or ghosts home. I don't like ghost chasing. I don't like ghost taunting. I don't like the reveling and haunted house tours where there's pandering, which would keep those souls in that semi-state, in that purgatory or that suffering. With intention, I send them through a portal, and the angels and the departed ones greet them, and they are gone. They are back where they belong. So that is my mouthful to you.
Well, that's quite the mouthful. I agree that I don't like these places that are. I'm trying to find the right word so I don't get in trouble, because the haunted places that make a bang for their a lot of money by having people come in every day of the week. Mm-hmm. See, I just kind of just didn't give it a bad word. I just kind of explained what they were. It just doesn't seem... I don't see the gain in it, besides the guy who collects the money.
There is no gain. If I would liken the experience for that soul that's in between, if you've ever had oral surgery, and you are in a twilight, and you know that the dentist is there, and there's the technician, your mouth is open, and you can't move, and you can't speak, and you're numb, but you know something's going on. It's that in-between limbo, and it's not very comfortable. Or if you've ever been in I've had this happen, some people could identify, where you're sleeping, and you are trying to speak or scream or move, and you can't. Some people might call it a bad dream. It's scary. It's uncomfortable. Or some people might be sick, and they might say to someone, "Just don't touch me. Don't even touch me." And it's like being uncomfortable in your own skin. I believe that is what it is like to be a lost soul that's in between worlds. They need the opportunity, I believe, by healers. Shaman do this. Shaman are North American or South American Indian tradition healers who do this. And other healers like me, I'm not a shaman, but many healers do this as well, where we put out the intention and we call upon them and we send them directly home. So
I want to take you down another side street that often gets lumped in the paranormal.
Go ahead.
the alien phenomenon.
Yes.
I know you just told me about different dimensions, but in the big picture, are we alone or not alone?
We have so many friends. I believe that we are told by the media that we are alone. That's to keep us, I think that, in fear, and to keep us locked and limited. There are star systems throughout creation. There are beings that love us. I'll get real cosmic. Star Trek, they talk about the Federation And that's a conglomerate of different star systems that come together who are working for the betterment of the galaxy. And I believe that there is a galactic federation of star systems that work with the Earth to help assist in its awakening. And I channel to star languages. I channel Sirian and I channel Pleiadian. And these are two star systems that have their own star language. That came about a few years ago. That was pretty psychedelic. I was channeling and all of a sudden it sounded like I was talking in tongues. And I met a friend and I go, what the heck is this? And she understood what I was saying. Okay. And then I went on a site called Ashtar Command Crew. And there were people who were interpreting star language, and they themselves spoke star language. So there are many of us that come into this reality as star beings, as incarnated angels, as elementals from the elemental kingdom. Who are they? Fairies and gnomes and leprechauns, elves, sprites, you name it. And we come from many dimensions, many realms, many realities to help, again, assist in our individual ways, in our specific ways to raise the vibration of the Earth so that people will no longer be locked in and limited, where they'll remember that they were never separated from source or spirit, whatever you want to call it, and that they'll move towards knowing that this is yet another reality where one can grow spiritually. Alien is a scary word. It conjures up fear. I don't believe that it's helpful to see star beings as aliens. There are souls that are playing in the dark. So I can't say that there aren't negative, you know, lower frequencies. There are. There are negative energies that are out there. But to lump all star beings and call them aliens is a trigger for many and isn't useful. So I would use the term star beings instead. And if anyone's interested, just Google the Galactic Federation, Google Ashtar Command, Google Lord Ashtar. See what happens.
So I've got a kind of another, I hate to say it, generality of the paranormal or spiritual in the fang. So with all these different realms, is it reincarnation or just a process that we go through?
Okay. This is my take on creation and reality in this reality. I believe that there is an infinite intelligence we'll call spirit. Some people say God, source, all that is, the I am presence. And it wanted to know itself better. So it sparked itself out like a big bang into an infinite amount of parts. And these little specks I call God sparks, and everything in it, every soul, everything before you, your computer, keyboard, the air speck, the deer's fluff on its tail, every single thing is a consciousness that is a spark of the divine. And that it watches, it wanted to understand itself better. So it created like a movie, like a holographic 360 infinitely expanding movie. So we're these sparks that are flying out in space in creation. And we, in fact, are multifaceted too. So we burst out and we, each of us individual souls, we're also having multiple experiences throughout reality, throughout creation. So Earth is one place where we can have an experience for soul growth, because that's why this was done, because source or spirit wanted to grow. So Earth is a kick-ass reality. It's really a hard place. I call it Earth school. it's very difficult because a soul normally does not want to shove itself into a physical vessel. This is a physical reality with things that you can touch and feel. Many places throughout creation are not like that. They're translucent, you know, like where you could put your hand through something that's translucent, like what you'd call an apparition. This is a tight bodysuit. We come down here and we forget the plan. We forget why we're here. We forget we've never been separated from the matrix, from everyone in and everything in creation. And that we come down here with a plan to experience some type of a challenge in order to grow. And that when we pass, we go back home and there's something called life review. And they say, hey, how nice to see you. How was it? What did you learn? Not how many cars, how many kids, how many houses, how many vacations, how many jewels. It was, what did you learn? There's no judgment and there's no punishment. If you pass, if you die, this is my belief, and you have unforgiveness towards yourself and or others, you develop what's called karma. And that means that you must reincarnate. You must come back again in what I call a do-over. You might have to do it with that soul. If that soul has forgiven you, you don't do it with them. You would do it with another soul that might share a similar representation of what you were unable to forgive. And that is a repeating. That is a coming back. Some souls don't have karma, but they wish to return because this is such a challenging reality. There are so many opportunities for soul growth that they wait in line for a chance to come back in. I don't know if that answers your question.
It does. This kind of fascinates me with all these billions of people on the planet. There are still people still, I mean, souls that are still interested in coming here. Okay. But anyways, skipping. I feel like I'm playing the Rubik's Cube now.
It's totally okay. I'll go wherever you're going.
You mentioned you wrote a book earlier. Is that the only one? I failed at that part because I got so overwhelmed with everything
okay.
else.
That's okay. I wrote David's Guidance when I was receiving messages from Jesus or Yeshua. It's a very challenging book to understand. It's unedited. You can find it on Amazon, Arclight Books, BarnesandNoble.com, CreateSpace, and the like. I didn't know that I could have edited it to make it more readable, because I felt that it's coming from an ascended master through me and I won't touch it. I've written another 50. I've gotten another 50 of his pieces, and I was guided, go edit the baby. Go do this. So when I'm finished editing it, then I will have a second book out, and that will be another. Yeah. So that's going to come out. I also have a project with two friends. It's a card deck of crystals, Carry Me Crystals, and a publisher picked that up, and that might come out within the year. And that's an oracle and chakra clearing card deck. And I've written articles in Elephant Journal and Yogi Times. And I also write songs, and I'm in the process of copywriting one of them, and hopefully that'll come out on iTunes and CD Baby.
So the next thing I have down here is songwriting, because I kind of figured we'd just play this all, you know, trying to keep it somewhat together, even though it's kind of not.
It's okay.
So,
it's okay.
So songwriting. People ask me all the time when my book's coming out, and I tell them I'm going to write a song first, and that always kind of gets the attention put away. Because I have about the attention span to write a song, let alone a book. So what made you want to write a song?
I did not even have a plan. I'm in the shower, and all of a sudden I get a title. And I go, wow. And then I know it was divine knowing that it was a title for a song. And then I start getting words. And I'm going, oh, boy. I turn the shower off. I'm not finished showering. And I turn off the shower. And I grab pen and paper. And I start writing a song. And then a few hours later, I wrote another song. And then over the course of, I think, 5 months, I've written 15 songs. Now, I am a musician in that I played the flute starting in fourth grade through college. I started singing when I was eight, started playing the piano since I was in sixth grade. I don't play it that well, but I have a musical background, and I also write well. I say that humbly. Aside from channeled messages, I do write well. So, and I was a linguistics major, so I'm good with language. So there was a recipe there, and I had recorded some songs on YouTube. If you go to YouTube and you type in my name, you'll get three songs that I sung covers for. My Favorite Things, Take Two, and The Way He Makes Me Feel. And then I realized, wait a minute, for some reason, this is part of a bigger plan. I don't know why. I'm supposed to be singing in public. I hosted an open mic night at a local restaurant recently. And I am friends with someone who has a recording studio, and he hooked me up with a professional piano player. And it just got – I've been receiving vocal coaching as well for the past 2 years. I can't leave out my friend Stan. And I've been perfecting my voice, and then the song started. So if you ask how and why – I don't know why. Had no plan. It's happening. And I'm just following my guidance. So if they say do it, I do it. I don't ask why, because I think that it could be part of something that leads me somewhere, and I just don't know where yet.
It's fun. It's got, besides the work you're putting into it, getting vocal lessons and all this other stuff, it's just the idea fascinates me to no end.
I love doing it. That to me isn't work. That's play. That's play. That's the respite from my doing readings and healings. Although that's like play as well, because I love what I do. But to sing really brings me joy.
So normally I save this, do this earlier, and then if I forget, I normally do it late. But I want to do it now before I forget because, well, you see how it all worked out at the beginning of the show. Where can people find you? How can people connect with you and all that?
Oh, sure.
You know, you do this. Well, tell people about your radio show, too. So let's get that all out there, too.
Sure. Okay. So I co-host a radio show with my friend Charlotte Spicer, S-P-I-C-E-R. And she's on Blog Talk Radio. The name of her show is Spiritual Insights with Charlotte Spicer. And I'm almost always on the first Tuesday of every month from 3 to 5 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And we always have a theme for three months, where I take live calls and do readings for listeners. I love that forum. Love it. So please tune in. People can find me on my website. That's Joanies, Joanies, white, as in the color, light, as in turn on the light, healing.com. That's Joanies, white, light, healing.com. And you can also Google my name. If you Google my name, then you'll get a lot of the podcasts and articles and songs, because right now my website is static and it's not in that WordPress format where you can get any links to anything that I've done that's audio or even video. So you'll get a lot from Google as well. And you can find me on Facebook. If you friend me, Joni Isinger, E-I-S-I-N-G-E-R, then just put in the friend request that you heard me on Jim's show on the Mallard Report. And you could also go to Joni's White Light Healing. That's a page on Facebook. I'm on LinkedIn under my name. I'm at Joni Isinger on Twitter. And you could always message me from my website, and I'd love to hear from you.
Yeah, you're connected. That's the good thing. And I have you said it's static, but I'm looking at it right now. And this is going to sound funny for people, but I like the pink. I don't know. I wouldn't do my site in pink, but.
Thank you. I got to say, I was divinely guided to pink, and I don't do pink. I don't do it like that. I mean, now I'm wearing some pink, but I wasn't thinking it was going to be pink. They wanted me to be different because I do feel that I am different from other psychics, from other healers. And I found that a lot of the sites were black. A lot of them were very creepy, and that they gave me the impression that they might not be pulling from high vibrating sources. So I thought, well, let's make this look like it's Madison Avenue or something happy.
Yeah,
they gave it to me.
Actually, you're gonna love this. The first full fledged duck logo had purple in the background.
There you go.
Just because, you know, the paranormal thing, I want to be different than everybody else with their black. And I went black for the last one, but I was working with somebody on the new one, rebranded for 2015, and it's not black anymore. That's all I'm going to say. It's not black anymore.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to take some getting used to, but...
Well, I think you'll like it.
I do.
And also, you will stand out. You'll stand out, and I think that's important. It's important to make a statement like that.
It is, and I looked at it again because I got it yesterday, and I just kind of closed it because, you know, it wasn't, you know, I seen it, and I'm like, before I rush any judgment, I'm just going to, click close on
it.
And I opened it again this afternoon, and I'm like, oh, that's not bad. I kind of like that.
You have to say, you've got a great logo.
Yeah, I love the duck. Joel did a great job, and there's actually, the duck that's on there isn't the duck that's going to be on the new one. There's actually four or five different oil ducks that are floating through my collection of things that I could pull out and rebrand with. Kind of keep the duck going.
Uh-huh.
I think the next duck is kind of actually smiling, which is kind of cool. I've got Angry Duck, too. So probably, he'll probably hang out for a year. I'll have to get angry for a year. I don't know. I don't know how that's going to work, but...
Oh. Well, before you have to close, also, I want to thank you very much for having me. I found you, or you found me, or we found each other on Twitter. And it was right at the beginning when I first went on. And I was, you know, searching around, and I thought, oh, you know what? He's local, Pennsylvania, New Jersey. That's cool. He's doing similar stuff that I'm doing. So it's very neat, and I'm glad. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. And I'm not very close to you, but that's here or there. I'm on the other side of Pennsylvania.
The other side.
Yeah, I could hop, skip, and jump into Ohio, but that's here or there.
Look at that. Okay. So, I still think it's cool.
It is. It is what it is. Actually, my final thought tonight is about Twitter, but that... I guess I'll... You know what? When I go into that, I'll just leave you listen, and then I'll play my outro, and then we can just wrap up then.
Sure.
But we still got a couple minutes before I want to get into that, because if I start now, I'll be babbling all over myself. So, what I see healings and readings up there. Tell me a little bit more about that process. How, like, if somebody who's listening like wants either one of those,
what would they expect?
Yeah,
people often come to me and they have questions. I say any question is on the table. That would be a psychic reading. So normally the things people come for are questions about finances, relationships, career, their children, their health, why they're blocked, why they're here, what's their divine purpose, why they're not moving forward, why they continue to try to move forward and they're unable. Who is this person to me? Why do I feel like I've known them before? Will I meet my soulmate? Is this person for me? I do mediumship. I channel departed ones for people, but I must say I do not do what Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium, does. I do not nail a person and say, this is Aunt Sally who's wearing the lamé gold dress with the pearls, and this is the secret handshake. I bring in healing messages. I bring in what that soul wishes to impart to the client. If a person wants something more specific, I say to them, you would need to find someone who calls himself a medium who does this primarily. I do general readings where if a person says, well, what do they have to say to me? First thing that I would say is, who is they? Archangels, ascended masters, guides, loved ones, consciousnesses, star beings. what the messages that would come through is whatever is for the person's highest good, whatever they are meant to hear that's most important for them. In terms of healing, I always say, I am not a doctor, but I can see into bodies. So I address health issues, and I always say my disclaimer, I do not attempt to heal or cure, go see your doctor for any of that. But people do come to me and they ask me questions about their health. I also do general healings. People say, hey, work on me. I'm not feeling well. Or my energy's lagging. I sleep all the time, or I'm totally buzzed. I don't know what's gotten into me. Some people are more aware and they're knowledgeable about their energetic body. They might say, please clear the debris, clear my aura. That's the energy field outside of your body. Or can you please clear or balance or align my chakras? Those are the energy centers in your body. I also do chakra repair. I do healings on pregnant women, newly born infants through seniors. I work on pets and I channel departed pets. I do healings on crystals and plants. Yes, everything is alive. Everything is a consciousness. And also regarding a session, I do a mishmash of all of the above. So a person might want a general reading at first, then they'll have a question, then they'll say, work on me, then they'll bring up a health issue. It's whatever a person wants. I do Skype for those who aren't local to central New Jersey. Most people do phone, even if they're local, because it's so convenient. And in person is for the folks that want to take the drive. And if they want information regarding a healing and or a reading, they can find me on my website and send me a message.
There you go. Well, see, I'm sitting here going, you know, I have this awkward moment where I look down and realize that, you know, I'm wearing my Scooby-Doo pajama pants right now, and I'm like, she can see into people. This is special.
That's a good question. That people say, do you see things around you? Can you read my mind? Why can't you give me the lottery numbers? There are certain things that we are blocked from. I don't know the lottery numbers. Very few people are gifted with getting the numbers. And also regarding seeing things, if I saw your Scooby-Doo pajamas, then I believe that there would be a breaking of some type of a spiritual law of like an ethical law. It would be irresponsible. Also, I think it would drive any psychic crazy if they saw everything. I mean, I wouldn't mind seeing Scooby-Doo pajama bottoms. They to me, that's very campy, you know, the van, whatever it's called, the mystery machine. Very
right.
Cool. All cool. But many people have the belief that Teresa Caputo, the Long Island medium, just is constantly seeing spirits wherever she goes. I don't believe that that's so. I believe that we have an on-off switch, which I utilize, and that I turn it on when I'm working and I turn it off when I want to have a life. So I don't cross the line with channeling where someone's at and you know what color underwear they're wearing.
All right, so here we go. I'm going to wrap up if I get the read here and then my final thought and then my outro and then we'll be clear. Okay. Tonight's sponsor is Spectrum Light, the best IR boosters available. Works wonderfully well with Sony Nightshot cameras. Visit SpectrumState.com, sign up for the newsletter at iTalkParanormal, and learn how to save more money. I sent it out again today, and follow them on Twitter at AUParanormal. Tonight, my final thought is, this is where it gets interesting. I kind of noticed this afternoon, and I kind of didn't want to talk about it, but the more I sit here and the more I thank my guests for their connection. It has helped. So I'm going to talk about it. It's Twitter. Now, some people, it's a Facebook world for them. And I understand that. It was for me for a while. But now, Twitter has my soul, has my attention. People say I'm addicted to it, which probably is true. But it's an outlet. It's an inlet. It's all-encompassing. I get to talk to people from as close as New Jersey, as far away as far away can be. And then I realized today that, A, I talk a lot on there. which I do. But the other thing I realized is I'm getting close to 50,000 followers. And that just kind of blows my mind, because it's amazing how many people I have found via that that particular social network. I'm on Google Plus and LinkedIn and Facebook and the new one, Tuso, however you pronounce it. I was on Vine at one point. It never really worked too well for me. I'm an audio guy, not a video guy. So it's kind of funny how small the world is right now. But how hard it is, even with the smaller world, to make an impact with people, to get people to listen, to get people to act on something that is more important than whatever stupid thing's going on right now. I didn't look, but there always seems to be a stupid trend going around the world. So as we grow and develop and evolve as people, and we have this amazing platform, let's not waste it with, here we go, angry, grumpy cat. Let's try to help. I mean, yeah, laughter is important, but sharing 800 pictures of grumpy cat a day, not so funny. So reach out and connect with people. You'll never know who you're going to find. You'll never know what you're going to learn when you make a genuine connection with somebody. So I encourage you to go check out her website and my website, italkparanormal.com. Sign up for my newsletter so you can get your discount on your spectrum lights. Follow me on Twitter at italkparanormal. If you're a Facebook person, it's italkparanormal.com/, italkparanormal. But until next week, I encourage everybody to be safe and have a good night.
Well, before we flip that on-air sign to the off position, a quick reminder. For all things about the report, previews, and reviews, go to italkparanormal.com. That's italkparanormal.com. Good night.
It's the paradise.